Good morning. Good to see you again. Well, as you see, the theme of the sermon is one body and many members. And this has everything to do with today is Vision Day, Vision Sunday. And that means that we want to present as elders and deacons of the church the vision for the coming time for this church. Now, to start with, I think it's good to realize that a church is not an institution, but is a community. The word in the Bible that's used for community is koinonia, is a Greek word, and it signifies something like that you are really together, not just as an organization, but as an organism. You are united. The same word is used for our union with God. Between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Christian view of who God is, there is koinonia, there is community, and we are invited into that community. That is a big theme in the New Testament. So, community is fellowship, a fellowship that is built and that is restored, sometimes is integrated, celebrated. Now, as soon as we talk about fellowship, we all know that it's difficult. People sometimes hurt each other, or they ignore each other, or they fight with each other. Many things can happen. Now, in ICF, this is not different. It would surprise me if there would never have been a fight here. I'm sure that that is not true. I will not ask you to raise hands who has had a fight with somebody else, but I know this happens. Of course it does. And we have to learn, you could say believing in God is, amongst other things, is learning to live in community. What do you do when you disagree? What do you do when you have problems with another person? We come from different cultures. We are different characters. We have different habits, nationalities, whatever. Now, the Bible has different images for the church, and all images communicate something different. So you have the image of the church as the bride of Christ, longing to see her husband. You have the image of the church as a family, all brothers and sisters, parents of the children of the Father, the great parent. The church is the people of God, many others. This is the image of the body with many members. Now I want you to take a part of your body and look at it. Why not take your hand? Just look now at your hand. Or if that's easy for you, look at your nose. But that's probably difficult. Now, realize that when you look at your own hand, that you look at a miracle. It's amazing if you realize what a hand can do. The possibilities that it has. I can use it like that to make heart sounds and heart movements. But I can also use it for stroking. And I can even, one grain of sand, I can find with the same finger that can withstand all this force. Isn't that amazing? All the sinews, all the muscles, all the bones. It's a miracle, actually. So, and you know, what is true of the hand is true of the whole body. This all works together. The body works together. And all the parts need each other. And that is the image that is used of the church. Now, the chapter that the scripture reading is from is known as the chapter in the Bible about spiritual gifts. The gifts of the Holy Spirit that the Spirit gives to the believers. And we cannot read it all, but let us at least notice that Paul starts this chapter, verse 1, was not on the screen, that he says, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. He thinks it's important to know about this. Why? For the health of the church. For the health of the body. And then he says lots of things about the gifts. He enumerates gifts like the gift of prophecy, for example, the gift of healing or speaking in tongues or so. I will not go into those all. I will just read a few verses from this first part that he says, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all in everyone. Now, you immediately notice that there is one word that comes back a few times. Yes? The word varieties. So there is a diversity of gifts. And then Paul ends this section that the Spirit gives all these different gifts according to as he wills. So according to as he wills, but for the common good, it says, verse 7, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Now this is the bottom line. The bottom line, so, is that gifts that God gives to a believer are not presents. Nice gift, I put it in my pocket and I keep it there. No, they are means of service for the common good. So, we are gifted for others to build the community. And the examples that Paul gives in this chapter, wisdom, prophecy and so, they are just meant for that. Now, and then, when he has stated all that, then he starts developing this image of the body. And that we have just heard, so I won't read it again. There is one body and many members. That is what is saying this scripture. Now, as he starts this, if you have noticed in verse 12, he says, just as the body is one, has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with, and what follows then? You would think, so it's with the church. Yes? But it doesn't say that. It says, so it's with Christ. So there's one body, many members. So it is with Christ. So why does he say that? Why doesn't he say the church? Well, because when we become member of a church, like if you become member of ICF, if you start to be part of the community in whatever sense, then you are not just united with a club, but you are united with a person first of all. You become a part of Christ. We are united with the Lord and therefore also with his body. Christ is in heaven. And his body is here on earth. And his body is you and me together. So, and then Paul says in the scripture that we just read, that you become part of the body by being baptized. In one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. Whatever we are, Jews or Greeks, slaves, free, whatever. And we were all made to drink of one Spirit. You know, the meaning of baptism is that you cross a threshold. First you were outside, and now you're inside. Now you are part of Christ, part of the body. You're baptized into the body. And then the interesting thing is that Paul says, and the water in which you go down is not just outside you, but the water also gets inside you. It's a symbol of a much deeper thing. You are baptized in the Spirit or baptized with the Spirit. And that means you share in the reality of God's life. Jesus is the one who baptizes with the Spirit. It says several times in the New Testament. And Jesus also promises us living water, life-giving water, so that we never thirst again. Here it says that we are made to drink of one Spirit. So he baptizes and he makes us drink of the Spirit. We are all part of the body of Christ. We may be. And that means we all share in the Spirit. We are one in him. So, this is the first thing I want to say. We are one in the Spirit. And now something about the diversity, the variety. Because we are not all the same. And you see that's the beauty of the body. That there is not just one member. You are not just big food. Imagine that your body is just one big food. I mean, that sounds like a name of Indian chief or something. Eh? Or just hands. No. That would be no fun. You need all the different parts, of course. And in the church also, it's not just one gifting, one person or so. We need each other. We are different. But now is a problem. There's this problem that when you are part of a body like a church, you start observing others, right? And you think, oh, they do good things. They have good giftings. And I don't. We get feelings with it. Feelings of inferiority. I wish I had what that person has. She is much better than me. She does this and has this capacity or authority or whatever. I'm not a hand. Bad luck. I'm not an eye, even worse. Poor feet, sad ears. You are not so important as the other things. You know, it is so crazy. The whole body depends on diversity, and there's place for everybody. You can also have opposite feelings from inferiority. Eh? The superiority. You feel better than others. I'm an I. You see? I. Very important. I have no time for a simple hand like that. But or another says, wait. I'm the head. So that's much better than the feet. Then there's a story. There was a head. He said, I don't like those stupid feet. And then he found himself on the motorway and the car came. And that was the end of it. It's also the end of the story. Very short story. But you know, we need each other. And Paul says, don't be silly. We are so easily fooled. We look to the outside and we think, oh, that is very good. And we forget the inside. We forget what is behind the front. He talks about the weaker parts. Inside, lungs, kidneys, heart. In the body, they are the most necessary, but we don't see them on the outside. We treat the weaker parts with respect. The Bible even says, take care of your heart. It's not just physical, but also spiritual, of course. It's the same in the church. There is nobody who does not count. You are needed. We need you in the body. And so the question is, now what's my place? What is the place that I can take? How can I contribute? And then I find it striking what Paul says next. Because what he says is not about doing something to start with, but about being. He talks about that when one member suffers, the whole body suffers with it. When one member rejoices, the body rejoices with it. That is something, a quality of life. It's not something that you do. I mean, I don't do something when I rejoice. I'm genuinely happy with another person. Eh? Or genuinely sad, of course. You know, if you have a problem, if you have a serious problem, imagine that you get seriously ill or you have a death in the family. What do you need most? Advice? You need a person that comes along and says, how terrible for you. And a person that has tears in his eyes or her eyes and shows compassion. That's what you need. You know, first of all, as a church, we are a community of feeling with each other. And of course, if that is really the case, that has practical implications too. It's not so, oh, you are hungry? Oh, I feel for you. So bad for you that you're hungry. And then I go home and I stuff myself up and I forget about your hunger. No, of course not. There are many gifts needed and there is a great variety of gifts. And I see them all around here also. People with listening skills. People who are very hospitable. People who can cook a nice meal. We have musical gifts. You just enjoy them. We have people who help others moving house or find a stranded person at the station and give them a ride. We have people who put the chairs in order every week. Great! I've seen many beautiful illustrations, help celebrate a wedding in ICF. All these things happen. You know, and this is not just persons, this is what Jesus does in our midst. Jesus is sharing himself through the other persons. He is showing himself. He is the one head, and we are his body on earth. And he shows himself in our interactions. In a different letter, Paul uses a very striking expression. Let me quote it from Galatians 4, verse 19. He says that to a church, the church of Galatia. He says, I long for the moment that Christ is formed in you. I long to see that Christ is formed in you. Imagine that Christ becomes more and more visible in the way we relate to each other. Wouldn't that be wonderful? That somebody enters here for the first time maybe, and then that he says or she says, what is this? What do these people have? He, she smells something of Christ. Let me finish with a story in our own experience. I've been pastor in the church for many years, and when I was there not so long, God blessed us with our youngest son. He was born there, and in our church we baptized children. And our son was baptized, and we were living a kind of square with house around, and we met people there sometimes, but none of them went to church. But we invited the whole square to come to church for the baptism. It was a good occasion to get people over the threshold, and some came. And then the nice thing was, of course, for them, church was a completely new experience. There may be people here who are for the first time in a Christian church and wonder, what is this exactly? And so, anyway, what happened to this family? They kept coming back. The week after, there was no baptism, but they came back. And they came again and again and again. And then a year later, the whole family was baptized. And I will never forget the woman of the family, the mother, what she said. She gave a testimony to us. And she said, you know, when the first time we came in the church, we didn't know God. And she said, you don't realize what that means, that we didn't know God. Now we do. But she said, in the beginning, we didn't understand the word what was said. And the songs, that didn't mean anything to us. But we kept coming back because we found the people so special. We found the people so special. And then gradually we discovered, but what makes these people special is not that they are different from other people, but that Christ is here. And Christ binds them together. And Christ is the energy in their body and in their interactions. You know, and this is not to boast about anything that happened in our church, because it may happen here as well. And if you have to ask me one thing, what is your vision for ICF in the coming years? There's a nice vision document. Corinne has prepared it in a very well set up order, and you will all read it later on, I think. So, but if you were to give it in one phrase, one word, what is your vision for ICF in the coming years? Then it would be this, that Christ is formed in our midst. That people, when they come in our midst, that they smell Christ. And that is the reason that we are one body, and we have to learn to live in relationship with all our diversity and all our variety, all our gifts, all to the well-being of the body of Christ here in Wageningen. Amen.